what can you do to make sure that your prayers are heard? That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks so much for listening to the show. I'm really excited that you joined us today. We are about to wrap up a really great series. We've been studying through Jesus's parables. Today we'll be looking at Jesus's parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to discuss it in the Grace in Focus studios. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, am I over here?
Hello, I'm Bob.
Can you enter the room, Bob?
I'm sorry.
And we are doing in our series on parables, and we're in Luke chapter 18 right now, and it's called The Democrat and the Republican.
No, it's the Pharisee and the Publican.
I'm sorry, I have the Message paraphrase in front of me.
You had the wrong translation.
Sorry, the Pharisee and the tax collector I have in my book.
Yes.
So maybe publican is the fancy word for tax collector.
That's right.
So it is about the Republicans.
It is, slightly.
So verse 9 says, in Luke chapter 18, verse 9, "And he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others."
So this certainly sounds like he is putting down those who are despising others, which was many of the legalists, many of the people in Israel were that way, right?
Well, they're doing two things, right? They're not just despising others, they're also trusting in themselves that they were righteous.
Right. That's good.
So most religions in the world, if you ask most people, if you died today, why should God let you into heaven or why should God save you? Most people would say, well, it's because I'm a good person.
Right. They would say, I'm better than average.
I wasn't super amazing, but I wasn't Hitler. I wasn't horrible.
Right.
I was pretty good.
Right.
They're trusting in themselves that they were righteous.
And they also tend to look down at others, like you mentioned Hitler. But it's not just going to be Hitler. It's going to be anybody they view as less than themselves.
It's that brother-in-law.
Yeah.
He's a real messed up life. Oh, it's that. Oh, it's my wife's cousin.
Whew, right, right.
Man, oh, man. His life is messed up. I know I'm better than he is. There's no way he's getting in.
And they will tell you about it, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so that was an issue here. And the Lord tells a parable. Now, I don't actually understand this parable exactly the way I used to, and I'll tell you that when we get to it, because I think when we're talking about justification here, it's not the forensic sense that Paul talks about, but we'll get there in a second.
All right, verse 10. "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector."
Okay, so the Pharisee is going to be the one, obviously, who's got faith in himself, he's self-righteous,
right,
and he despises others, despises in particular the tax collector.
Because the Pharisees, I mean, frankly, I think if I lived back then, I would have been a Pharisee, because the Pharisees were very serious about the law. They were
right.
The conservatives. You know, the Sadducees were the liberals. The Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection. They didn't believe in the angels. They
right.
were super liberal. They were in charge of, like, the temple and stuff. The Pharisees were like the conservatives.
Right.
They thought that they kept the law, and they thought that they kept all the traditions that were added on top of the law. All the stuff that Moses never talked about, even the Bible never talked about. It was just the traditions of the,
right.
of the rabbis and the Talmud and all that stuff. So they thought, we're law keepers. Everyone else is unclean.
Right. They had a system whereby they could look at their life and say, you know what, I think I'm going to make it.
Uh-huh.
And isn't that true with lots of denominations, lots of churches? Don't they say, here are certain rules and regulations, here are certain things you can look at, and if you match up, then you're probably going to make it.
Yeah, here's your checklist of how you're doing.
Some people even understand the book of 1 John that way. They
right.
say 1 John is just a series of tests of life, and so they see it as a checklist. The point is, here, you've got this Pharisee and the publican, and what's going to be surprising about it is the person who comes out looking good is not the Pharisee.
Right, right. So the Pharisee, he goes to church every day. He's doing the right thing. He dresses the right way. He shops at the right places.
He didn't call it church.
He wouldn't call it church.
They would
synagogue.
Go to temple or synagogue.
Synagogue,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Verse 11, "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself." It's interesting. He prayed with himself.
Now, these two men went to the temple to pray. So
yeah.
they're both going to pray.
So they're both going to pray.
And this guy's standing off by himself.
And he says, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And that's kind of the end of the prayer there. Look how amazing I am. God, I'm such a serious person, religious person, not like this doofus over here.
Now, it's hard to even read this, right? Because it's embarrassing. It's hard to imagine anybody would pray something like this.
Doesn't it hit home a little bit?
It does. This was me before I came to faith.
I'd say even people who are in the faith, don't Christians, I mean, listen, I'm an extremely conservative Christian, so are you. Don't we kind of look down a little bit on the liberals and the
and then this and that, and we're like,
oh boy, I'm glad I'm not like them with their messed up families and their moral relativism and all that stuff.
Okay.
There might be a little bit there.
I guess so. I don't think we pattern prayers after that.
No.
I hope not. But I get your point. Yeah. So this is a danger we all have.
Right.
But the point is here's this person who's basically praying, telling God what a good guy he is.
Yeah, it's a wonderful prayer here.
I know, and it's great. Such a self-serving prayer. You're like, does this even count?
It kind of reminds me of some worship songs that are just like, you know, I'm just so in love with you, Lord.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, I'm praising you. I'm lifting up my hands to you. Look at what I'm doing.
Right.
It's not really worshipful.
The focus tends to get not on the Lord, but on me sometimes. Yeah, I remember when I was at Dallas Seminary, I had a friend, and he said, I can't stand the 7-Eleven songs.
Uh-huh.
What are the 7-Eleven songs? He says, well, that's a song with 7 words, and you sing the same 7 words 11 times.
Yeah, that's right. And he said,
I like praising the Lord, but let's not just sing praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord 100
right.
times. Let's praise him. Let's praise him for his goodness
or whatever. In defense of that, sometimes I just need a simple song.
Right.
But then I also need the meaty songs,
too.
So, okay.
Right.
And verse 13, and the tax collector, this poor guy, I mean, what is he going to say? I mean, he's just been totally dismissed by this Pharisee. He must feel bad.
Well, and by all of Israel.
And by all of Israel. Because the tax collectors, they were basically collaborators. They were working with the Romans to tax the Jews. So they were working with the Gentiles. Everyone hated them.
And their pay was based on what they took in. They would receive a certain portion of what they took in.
So, like, if you owed $1,000, I had to get at least that much.
Right.
But in this system, I could get more from you. And the more I got, I would keep, and I'd give the $1,000 to Rome or something.
If I could get extra, I was keeping some of that extra or all of it, like you say.
Okay, and the tax collector standing afar off, it's like, you know, he's praying in a corner or something.
He's the opposite of being proud.
Would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
My mother was Serbian and didn't even speak English till she got to first grade. She grew up in the Serbian Orthodox Church,
mm-hmm.
and I went many times. In fact, I was even a choir boy during summer camp one summer at Serbian Orthodox camp.
You're still a little bit of a choir boy.
I am still. No,
no,
no. They would sing in the back, Gospodi pomiluj.
Yeah.
Gospodi pomiluj. And I didn't know what that meant. And finally, I got a prayer book one time, and I looked it up, and Gospodi pomiluj means something like God be merciful to me in Old Slavonic.
Right.
But it's basically these words here.
Right. Well, the Jesus prayer in the Orthodox tradition is, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me, a sinner. So it's basically the publican's prayer here with Jesus' name in it.
Which is a great prayer.
Which is a great prayer. It just doesn't help if you say it 10,000 times a day. There's no more power to it if you say it 10,000 times as opposed to one.
Yeah. The thing is, he's saying the right thing in his attitude. The important thing is this is his attitude.
His attitude. He's far off. He can't even look up to heaven, and he beats his breast. So he's doing all these kind of outward things which are supposed to tell us. We know he's the real deal, where he's really sad or brokenhearted about what he's done.
Well, a lot of these things are some of the symbols of repentance.
Right. Verse 14, now this is Jesus speaking, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So the issue is exaltation.
Versus humiliation.
Right.
Now, I used to take this that this was the lone example in Jesus' teaching of justification by faith alone.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that the publican or the tax collector went down justified before God. This is when he was justified. This is when he was born again. And I remember Rene Lopez was writing a commentary for us, and so was Al Valdez. And Rene called me and he said, I've been talking to Al about Luke 18:9-14, and I think the justification in verse 14 is vindication. It doesn't mean he was justified in a forensic sense, but that he was vindicated before men because he had the right attitude. The more I got to thinking about it, that's exactly what the context is talking about. In fact, notice what he says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
So it's not heaven and hell here.
Right.
This is about something else.
Right. And so I think what he's saying is the tax collector went down to his house with the right attitude. He was vindicated before men and before God, at least in this sense. Now, does it mean he was born again? He might have been. But there's no indication here that he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for everlasting life. So I think the point of this parable is this. When we pray, we should pray with humility. Go through your daily life with a humble attitude. God be merciful to me, a sinner, is not just something, as Sean said, we say over and over and over again. It's the attitude of our heart all the time. We want God to be merciful to us because we're people who need His mercy. We want Him to exalt us as we humble ourselves before Him. We long to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Thanks to Bob and Sean for that great discussion about Jesus' parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. I know that we can all learn from that example. Now, if you'd like to go deeper on subjects like the ones you hear on this radio show, I'd like to tell you how to do that. You can get plugged into what we're doing at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. In addition to our bookstore where you can buy all kinds of great books, we have loads of free content and free material on our site that is designed specifically to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. One of my favorite things is getting our magazine in the mail. That's right, I'm a magazine subscriber. The magazine is called Grace in Focus. It's beautifully laid out. It's full color. It comes out 6 times a year. You can get a free subscription to the magazine. It'll show up right in your mailbox. We also have teaching videos and free ebooks. You can get subscribed to our blog post and they'll show up in your inbox daily. In addition to this, I highly recommend that you become a podcast subscriber. So you can get our podcast on TuneIn, Stitcher, or iTunes, but you can also get it by just going directly to the website, faithalone.org, and listening right there. In addition to all of this, we've got much, much more for you to take in. I hope you'll come join us at faithalone.org. Now, if you'd like to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. This show is made possible by the generous donations of listeners just like you. You can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. Now, I'm just going to let you in on a little secret. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar love getting questions from listeners. I'm going to tell you how to reach out to them. They would love to hear from you. Here's our team's email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. I hope you'll reach out to us, radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the show, we're going to wrap up our amazing series on Jesus's parables as we look at the parable of the minas. Tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until tomorrow, let's keep Grace in Focus.